State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the driving to work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
That's how we own it. What's up, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet.
What's going on, Tamika? How you doing today?
God is good. God is good.
All the time.
Yeah, it's the end of a year. And we have certainly had a long one, a long 2021. But it has gone, it's like a long year and it's going fast because I swear that December just started and it's already the last week of this month. It's crazy.
No, I ain't gonna lie, these last couple months have been just speeding past. Every time you turn around, it's the 20 something. You're like, what? It was just the first, and it's the 27. It's almost the 20. It's like, you know, so the year has definitely been going fast, but we've had a lot of things going good, a lot of things going, everything. This has been an eventful year, really eventful.
It has been. It's been, I don't know. It feels like many years we've come through have been bittersweet, you know. And it's like, it's almost like you feel guilty because on one side, for me, I feel like I'm growing into the woman that I am destined to be. I've grown so much in 2021. It's actually, I guess, somewhere between 40 and 41. There's literally been sort of a bump, if you will, in my womanhood and my growth. I see life different. I'm much more clear about what I am willing to accept, what I'm not, even from myself, the challenges that I really put on myself to be better, to do better, and just to be a better me. And so from that perspective, and also recognizing that at some point around 40 years old, it's as if people really truly do begin to respect and understand, you know, your expertise, your value, your womanhood, all of those things. It gets much stronger when you reach your 40s, and maybe it's the way we walk in that. Maybe it's the way that, you know, I speak, the way that I carry myself, the level of confidence I have. And as that takes place, I kind of feel that, you know, my success in terms of how I'm growing, not just as a activist, but as, you know, with many things, just my book writing in general, being able to express myself. So all those things are happening, but yet at the same time, is there really success with the work that we do every day in our movements? Yes, I believe that overall there is, and the success looks different. It doesn't necessarily look like changing all the legislation that we want to see changed and stopping police from killing us. But it does look like bringing more people into the movement. It does look like encouraging more young people to pick up the mantle, training more young people. You know, there's so many young people around us and so many young women and men that I mentor myself every single day. And so those things feel good, but there's always this balance, if you will, of feeling like on one side, we're doing well, I'm doing really well, but on the other side, we still have so far to go. And so this is just no time to really sit down and celebrate.
Yeah, you know, I go through that same thing, man. Watching yourself grow, understanding who you are, becoming who you're supposed to become is like you said, is a gift and a curse. You know what you're willing to stand for. You know what you're able to do. You know what you're not able to do. You understand your strengths, your weaknesses. You just start to identify yourself in full capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times that's changing. So your surroundings change. People that you used to be around, you know, sometimes you grow apart from the way that you think. Certain things that you used to do, you don't do. Certain things that you haven't done before, you start to do. You know, so I think that's just part of evolution. You know, as men and women grow, you evolve into, it's like the cocoon in a butterfly, right? You start to metamorphose into who you're supposed to be. So I think that's the year when you get into your early 40s, you start to really, you know, take hold of who you are. You start to identify yourself in full capacity. And what else happens is you don't care about who doesn't, right? Because before, when you're in your 20s and even in your 30s, you worried about how somebody else is going to perceive what you like or what you
right.
don't, how you think or how you show up. You know, when you start to get 40, I think what you start to realize that the main purpose is for you to be comfortable and happy, and you to be, you know, living in your true essence of who you are. You know, so, you know, that's probably what's been going on for us in these last couple of years, man. I mean, especially in this last year in general, just along with, I think COVID and the pandemic rushed the process because it forced a lot of people to have to deal with themselves, right? When you, mm-hmm. when you locked up and you just got to deal with yourself every day and look in the mirror and make assessments and see things for what they are, then you reflect. You know, it was much like my stint in prison, even though it wasn't as long. But in prison, I had to look at myself every day. I had to make real assessments. I had to really just, because I had to live with myself every day. So I looked how I was showing up, how people were receiving me, how they weren't receiving me, how I was progressing, how mentally I was progressing. What did I learn today, right? Because when you just have yourself, you can't lie to yourself, right?
Life, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Outside life can distract you. You can be so distracted doing nothing that you actually think you did something. You can be running around, boom, boom, not really accomplishing anything, but you think you are because you move and there's constant things going on. But when you don't have that, every day you gotta say, okay, what did I do? I don't have nothing to distract me. Did I work out? Am I mentally strong? Did I read something? Did I put together some type of plan? Like, what accomplishment do I actually have? And I know I find myself having those thoughts, like early in the morning, it's like a level of anxiety. Like, you didn't do anything today, Mike. What are you gonna accomplish? What is your plan for the day? What did you do yesterday? Did you accomplish something? Did something move forward? Did you plan something? You have so many opportunities and so many things to do. What did you do towards these goals? You know, so I think listening to you, I definitely identify and understand that mind state, man. But overall, I believe we had like a wonderful year, especially with our podcast. We're the number one, you know what I'm saying? Number one podcast in the world, Street Politicians. Shout out to iHeart, Black Effect Network. Shout out to Charlamagne. You know, this has been a wonderful ride, and we're just continuing to grow. We got so much growth to do. You know, this has been our first season with Black Effect Network. So we just got so much growth. We're revamping. We're learning things. We're learning things about how we can be better. We're gonna have more guests. We're gonna have more in-depth conversations. You know, we're gonna debate like we usually do because I don't really agree with most of the stuff you say all the time. But it's going to be a good podcast, man. So we just want to thank all of you guys and girls and women and men and everybody who's tuned into this show, who's making it, continuing to make it grow, who's challenging us, who's giving us your feedback. telling us what you love, what you don't love. We just want to say we appreciate y'all.
Yeah, no, I feel that way too, that the podcast has really caused me also to sit still. It's not just the podcast, but it was the book this year, the podcast. It causes us to sit down and really focus on developing something and giving other people a voice. And I appreciate so much that we have a mixture of guests. We've had all types of people on our show, and so many platforms have been designed to focus only on celebrities or influencers that can get the numbers up. And clearly numbers matter. And you do have to have a show that allows for, or you have to have a product, a brand that people are attracted to. And that's going to come from you having highlight moments. So I get that. But at the same time, we never wanted to be so stuck with that model that we did not give voice to folks that have never been heard of. You could be living anywhere down south, you know, any corner of America. And we wanted to make sure that if you're doing good work, that we use the Street Politicians platform to give voice to those individuals. And I love the fact that, as you said, the Black Effect Network and iHeart are giving us that opportunity, allowing us to, to use our platform the way we want to. We never, ever receive feedback that changes who we are, from Black Effect or from iHeart. You know, what they will say is, hey, it seemed that people love this show, right? And again, it could be a show on any of the topics that we've covered, and they say, do more of that. Or they'll say, people love when you and my son have real conversations, but they don't say to us, well, you shouldn't have these guests on, or every month you need to have three celebrities or two in order for, we never get that type of feedback. And I think Charlamagne and what it is that he's trying to create is a space that allows people to be authentic to themselves, authentic to their brand, authentic to the work that we all claim to be doing. And so I love, I was really hesitant, as you know, to do the show. And when we started out, Street Politicians was great. It was the best name ever, but I still was hesitant about the whole process, hesitant about being vulnerable before the camera. You know, I hate being on camera. I'm trying to take the word hate out of my vocabulary, or at least not use it as frequently as I do. But I dislike the camera. It's not my most comfortable space. And, you know, when it's all said and done, that vulnerability has helped me grow. So it's been great. And it's also been great to learn from so many people, because I feel like every show I walk away smarter. I have something that I can go Google, learn more about, and figure out how to incorporate it in my teachings to the world. So it becomes like each one teach one. So I think Street Politicians is educational. I don't know if we're going to stick with the name Street Politicians forever. I think we've been talking about whether or not we have evolved and want to come up with a different way to really make sure that people know it's us and it's our brand, and it's not just like something in the world. But, you know, I'm grateful that you continue to stay on me about the fact that we needed to bring our perspective and have our own representation online, where people can hear directly from us how we feel and, you know, and what our opinion is or are, what our opinions are on issues. Today, we're doing this.
What about the Leaders of the Culture podcast?
No, because the problem is that
culture leaders, not street politicians, we're culture leaders.
No, because first of all, there's already a culture show which is on Revolt, and
it's still
there. It will be, you know,
culture leaders is two different things than for the culture.
Puff will bring it back, but here's what I'm saying:
leaders of the culture. What?
I'm completely fine.
You telling me Leaders of the Culture ain't a dope name?
No. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
I am completely fine with using street politicians as the name, unless we are changing it to something that makes sure people know it's Tamika and my son. Otherwise, the name we have is fine.
Well, yeah. It could
the
be
only Tamika. Reason, the it only be, reason.
Tamika and my son, culture leaders.
No, but, I don't like that at all. But we should, maybe we can open it up and do a poll and allow people after this show to give their input on what we should be in our new year.
Like the name, stay with it.
Huh? Or, like or if they like the name, do we stay with it? That's a good point. We'll see. So that's something we've got to kick back to our production team. And we have to make sure that as this year closes, we give a lot of love to Catscape Productions, our sister Janice, our sister Kat Trigg, and all the other folks that work every single day, not just every week, but they work every single day on making street politicians what it is. The level of commitment that Catscape has had and the belief in us prior to us getting a deal with Black Effect Network is incredible. So we've been ordained to do this show.
Denise, we love you, Janice.
That her name is Janice, for the so people will not start calling that beautiful woman out of her name, because
Janice.
No, her name is not Janice, people. So let's just be clear about that, because when she's in business meetings and other places,
she
like to, as a woman, be called by her name, which is Janice. That is my son's nickname that he calls her, which is wonderful. They laugh about it, but her name is Janice. Thank you. Okay.
Janice, I'm gonna call
you. The shows, though, it's been a lot of people. I didn't even know when we were doing this review of the shows, I had no idea we did as many shows as we've had. Yeah. We have done a lot of shows.
Yeah, we've done a lot of shows. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. Since it's the end of the year, we're going to do a recap of some of our favorite shows, some of our favorite guests. You know, like Tamika said, we always give platforms to those who wouldn't normally get platforms. But we also have some friends that are kind of famous that have shot by some dope interviews, man. So what we're going to do is talk about some of our favorite interviews, man. Some of our favorite people that came up, you know, either they laughed, made us laugh, made us almost cry, or they just informed us about something we didn't know about, you know?
So no, we did cry. I know I cried specifically during the Hill Harper interview.
Well, let's go to that episode since you mentioned it.
Hill Harper was one of my best episodes, because first of all, he said something, you know, he's Hill Harper. He said some incredible things. But he was a really strong episode because I sat next to you and watched how the two of you connected and how emotional it made you as you listened to him speak about things that is just so dang on important for Black men. So that was like really, really an empowering episode that I think we've had.
So let's go to a clip from that episode.
The mental health of Black men is something that we never discuss. It's something that's stigmatized. It's stigmatized from when you're very young and people say, just get up, you tough, you got this, come on. And it's also stigmatized from the standpoint of even the Black church system. It's like, no, don't go to therapy. You know, come just pray it out in church, right? Mm. And so many men, Black men, so many of us are living inside our own heads and feel like that we can't actually communicate it, even to each other, because we'll be seen as soft, or we'll be seen as not so-called strong Black men, and it eats you up from the inside. And so we have to have these discussions. We have to say it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel. It's okay to open your heart and feel the pain. It's okay to feel fear. We never talk about fear, right? It's okay to be afraid as a black man, knowing that the world is trying to come at you?
Shout out to Hill Harper. Like you said, one of the most powerful interviews, but had me a little teary-eyed, but told you we had history. Me and Hill had a lot of history, man. I was at one of his first movies. He almost forgot about it. So shout out to Hill, man.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
That's how we own it. So you know who was one of my favorite episodes? And I guess it's because, you know, we had so much history. I think Sean was one of my favorite episodes. Just watching him come home, knowing we had history. I have a lot of history in this game, this hip hop game, you know, and just understanding his plight, our plights being similar, and just getting to get one of his first interviews from coming home and being in the United States. I think that's one of my favorites. Let's go to Sean.
It doesn't matter because I'm still helping people. So whether I get elected or not, you know, I'm blessing people. So, you know, I'll be okay. It's not about getting elected. I'd like to, because then I could, you know, take my actions and put it into policy, right, and put it into legislation and create a system. See, for me, I don't want to be a neo-colonial master. Mm. You know, I don't want my people to be dependent on me or any politician. So I want to create systematic change so you don't need to go to a politician.
Sean was a good interview. I mean, I think in the new year, we got to have Sean back. I think there's so much, and there's many guests that could come back and talk because there's so much that he knows, so much that he's learned, and so many different historical moments that has happened that he speaks to, and he speaks really well on all these topics. And so, you know, I really appreciated that interview. And that's yet another one of those moments where I feel like I was able to see right before my eyes the two of you really connecting, you know, and that's always really, really special for me. You know how much I love and appreciate so much when Black men like connect and come together around different issues. So that for me was one of my favorite episodes as well. I also kind of feel like the women get a lot of love on Street Politicians. One, because women are doing so many powerful things, but we do have many episodes where women are being elevated, and you know, and we have all different types of people. For me, it almost is like we've really, really been intentional about showing people that we come from all different walks of life and different spaces, and we think differently. It's not just one way of thinking. And so for me, a good episode would have been Bevy Smith, right? I thought that Bevy, while she was her normal Bevy, she also brought a different flavor. Like, she showed people a different side of herself at writing her book, but also talking about her failures and things that she went through in her career. So we should watch this episode, or at least a clip of Bevy. And I think she's another one, Mice. We got to have Bevy come back.
How do you continue to reinvent yourself? Like, what is the secret sauce? Mm.
The secret sauce is really not ever being complacent, never resting on your laurels, and, you know, always being up for the challenge and always wanting to experience something new. You know what I mean? Like, I think that one of the saddest things is that, you know, so many times in our community, we don't even dare to dream. Mm. We stifle our dreams, and it's not our fault, really. It's that that's like kind of been inbred in us a lot of times. To you know, have dreams, but make sure they're sensible, right?
Right.
So you can have a dream to be a lawyer or a doctor, but you can't have a dream to be an author or to be a TV personality, or, you know what I mean? And so a lot of times they put a cap on our dreams. Also, we're not given the exposure to even know. Like, when I was a kid, I came up through advertising and I started out as a receptionist. And it was only working in the environment that I learned about becoming a media director, which is what I did in my 20s. And I started this career in fashion advertising. But I didn't know that as a little girl growing up in the hood that I could even have a career in advertising, and certainly not in fashion.
Yeah. Are you a big mentor?
Yes, you know that.
I know. You have a bunch of babies. I know.
Yeah, I have a bunch of babies. That's the mother part of the book. Yeah. You know, it really does come from my LGBTQIA family that call me mother. That Derek J. Yes. And Miss Lawrence, my co-host from Bravo's Fashion Queens, they start calling me mother on set, and then it just kind of carried on. And then the auntie part is really about the young women, and I will say young, under 40, really under 35, but I might give y'all something if you're 36 or 37 and you see me on TV and you think of me as your cool auntie, or you think of me as oftentimes I get the rich auntie. And then also, the bestie part is for me and my girlfriends, the contemporaries. You know, we done been through some things. Mm. We know a few things. We gonna share war stories over cocktails and fabulous trips and, you know, doing the things and the things. Right.
Shout out to Bevy, man. That was a dope interview. Bevy's always her energetic, raw self, man. And that book, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't take nothing from Bevy. She's the same person, I promise you. It ain't just for TV. This is Bevy every day, all day. So this definitely was one of my favorite episodes. But since we're on the topic of being your same self, authentic, and energy, another one of my episodes that I really liked was my brother Wallow 267, man. Wallow is a brother that I met on the internet, just watching him on the street corners, just giving words of encouragement and doing push-ups in the rain, and you know what I'm saying? And then when you meet him, just like Bevy, it's the same exact energy. He's always positive. He always shows you the same love, you know? So interviewing him and just having a real personal relationship, brother that I call up all the time, that calls me. Just the other day, he just called me in the middle of the day. Was like, yo, I love you and I appreciate what you're doing. You know, we had like a real deep conversation. So just watching his evolution into who he is and being able to interview him on our platform, it was just special for me. So let's go to Wallow's interview.
one of the reasons that I thought about my when I was young, I had people that was in my life, my grandma, my different people, old some older guys in the community that was always trying to get me right. But one thing that the reason they couldn't get into me, my mind, because they was outnumbered with the street. It was too many people in the street. So I said, okay, I'm gonna grab your attention on social media. And what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna show y'all some shit that y'all never seen. I'm gonna make it popular to do right. And you still could be cool, you still could be thorough. I done been able to do things since I've been home to show y'all not just being righteous is cool, not just doing right is cool. I made a shitload of money off of being right.
Wallow is hilarious. That is what Wallow is. He's hilarious. You all just saw. He's so funny. He talks so fast, but he keeps it 1,000 all the time. And I love me some Wallow. He always shows me so much love. So shout out to Wallow wherever he is. And if you're not following him, you should, because he drops a word of encouragement every single day.
On his words. It ain't just one.
Yeah, a few words. So let me see, Wallow, then who would that bring me to? You know who would, okay, Rhapsody. That would make me think about when we had Rhapsody on. That's another very encouraging person. I don't even think people get to see online how encouraging Rhapsody is. And just like, she's so fly, just so dope. That is dope. My sister.
And she's one of the hardest rappers ever. And I'm not just saying that. But she raps her ass off.
She absolutely does. And she and I talked in this episode about trying to find us a man and being old lady sitting on the beach. So let's listen to a little bit of Rhapsody.
Support means putting dollars behind the work that we're doing. And you sign with them. And I want to know, when you talk about support, how different does it feel to be with a company, an organization that cares about everything that Rhapsody stands for, not just your music, but also your concerns of community, and they're involved in just so many philanthropic efforts. Mm-hmm. What is that like for you?
Man, that's so fulfilling. You know, it feels like family. It feels like you're part of something that's bigger than business. Mm-hmm. I've had a few emails with Jay-Z, and we talk about, he'll say, this ain't a business, this is culture for me. And that's what I want to be attached to. I don't want to be attached to, you know, a business that's just empty and it's all about money, money, money. You get with an organization like Roc Nation, you know, that care about the culture, the people in it. You know, it's not just about a bottom line. It's like, you know, how can we help and enrich not only our artists, but our people at the same time?
Shout out to Rhapsody, my sister, man. Love Rhapsody. Love me some Rhapsody. Like, Rhapsody is one of the most authentic people you will ever meet. Fly, dope, just spirit, just on 1,000, man. It's crazy that somebody who's that humble is that raw of a rapper and that confident at the same time, man. So shout out to Rhapsody. Since we're on the topic of dope women, you know, one of my favorite episodes also was when we had the Mothers of the Movement on. It was an emotional time, but all of those mothers who came up there, you know, are people that I've grown to be like family with, you know, just understanding their struggles, understanding what they've been through, how we've been with them in these trenches, you know, crying with them sometimes smiling, happy with them, just seeing them in so many different phases of their lives, you know, being able to interview them and have them on our platform was just like a blessing for me. So that's definitely one of my favorite episodes.
Sabrina.
To George Floyd's family, I just want to say, hang in there. It looks really, really dark right now because you are sitting in the courtroom and going through a really, really extremely dark time in your life. And I can't say right now if things are going to improve as far as the trial is concerned. but you have to keep your head up. You have to be prayerful. You have to be hopeful. And that's what's going to keep them, you know, clinging on to one another. And we just got to be hopeful that things, you know, people will see things for what they truly are, and not what these laws say, and not what this policy say, and these things. A life was taken, and I want to remind people, a life was taken, and you can't bring it back. You can't bring that life back. People can get jobs, another job. You know, they can get another car. You can't buy another life. And so we just got to be mindful of that, of how severe that was for him to have a knee on his neck. I just can't get that visual out of my head. For Tamika Palmer, I'm going to be seeing you real soon. And, you know, you're going to be surrounded by love. You're going to be surrounded by support. And just know that you are not alone. You are not in this thing alone. And once you leave there, it's not a miracle conference. It's not a miracle retreat, but it's certainly you're going to leave differently from the way you came. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, the Mothers of the Movement was really a powerful moment because they all came on and they were very, very clear about why. They came on because they wanted the world to know that of the people that I actually know, that we have actually worked with, they appreciate, support me. They support us. They support our work. We've not in any way made them feel like their children were exploited or that we've done anything to harm them. Instead, we've been an asset to them and their families. And that type of support is what you need, because there are many people who would in those moments run. And we've had that happen where people would say, well, you know, the missiles are out. I don't want to get caught in it, so I'm going to stand back. But those mothers and, you know, they came together to make sure that it was clear to the world that those people who, you know, they didn't leave any doubt or questions. You know, some people would say, okay, well, I hear you saying that you may not have done this thing, but where's your support? And all of them, including Sabrina Fulton, you know, of course, Trayvon Martin's mother and Tamika Palmer, they were two of those to lead in saying, we want to make sure that folks know what you have meant to us, folks you really know, folks that you, my son, Until Freedom, have actually worked with. And so I thought that was, it was just powerful. And, you know, we continue to work with them. We continue to talk to them every single day. And we will always.
Always.
Those are our people.
Definitely, man. Shout out to them. Nothing but love.
So Monique Eidlett, our the chairwoman of Until Freedom's board, but she also
our big sister that we love.
Yeah, she's so much more than that.
Yes.
And so many people do not understand what this Black woman is trying to create, what she's creating. She's not even trying.
She's doing it.
Yeah, she's working alongside another Black woman, and they are literally creating a institution to support women-owned businesses, Black-owned businesses through funding. Literally funding from seed money all the way to she has all these classifications and series 1 and 3, and I'm learning them all. I'm getting into my investment game, and I'm learning thanks to her, thanks to Monique. And she came on and talked about Black wealth, and I think folks really need to learn more about who she is and more about what it is, the movement that she is creating, that will really extend beyond her. This is about setting up legacy and wealth for our children. So let's listen to Monique Eidlett.
When Discovery Channel asked you to be a part of a participant on Undercover Billionaires, I'm sure they put the $100 in your hand just knowing you would not be able to do it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Discovery has actually been so, they've been super, super supportive. And really, they actually wanted inclusion and diversity because they know it matters. Mm-hmm. It actually matters. It is the difference, you know, You can't actually talk about change and impact and inclusion if you're not actually showing it and helping your audience experience it. And so for them, it was important. For me, it's important. I'll tell you, I think that this was the most difficult thing that I have ever, ever done. And from day one, before I stepped into that city, before I knew where I was going, I had one mission, and that was to represent Black and Brown people so that we could actually know and that others could know that we're more than just, you know, an athlete, an entertainer. Mm. We're business too, we're human beings. And for me, that narrative was so important. And then I just wanted to represent the underdog.
Monique, you can't, listen, I don't even know what to say about Monique. She's just so dope in so many different facets. She's a beautiful woman, she's educated. I've watched her control a room. Like, there's nobody like Monique. That woman is a boss in every sense of the word, man. So definitely.
And she's beautiful. And she's
beautiful. That's just an added part, you know what I'm saying? Just happens to be not too shabby on the eyes. That brings us to another one of, you know, people that we love. You know, shout out to my brother Trey, man. Trey is another one of those people that whenever we call, you know, we don't even call. Trey beat us to it. You know, there's something going on, Trey. Like, well, you need me to come, man. Where my plane coming? Tell me where to come. I'll be there. You know what I'm saying? Trey is a superhero in the truest sense of the word. Not like what you see on TV, but the real life one that he's there. You put the bat signal up, he's there. He's my brother.
Absolutely.
Shout out to our album, If You're Scared, Stay Inside. One of my favorite albums that I've made. We did in actually 2 days. You know what I'm saying? So
sure did. Like, y'all was acting like y'all were working, but it turns out you really was doing
We really was working. She said, y'all acting like y'all working. I ain't really doing no work. Yeah, you heard that.
I was going out at night talking about we going to shoot videos and do. I'm like, yeah, right. They going out the town, painting the town.
Nah, we was painting the town with that album though.
That's right. And it's a good album. I mean, people need to really, really, if you scared, stay inside, download it, and check out our brother Trey.
What made you start the Relief Gang? How long has it been in existence? And what's the goal of your organization?
So the actual organization is Angel by Nature, which is another mm-hmm. meaning for ABN, because you know the real meaning of ABN is more on the street side. So
yeah.
Everybody wanted to be part of it, so I had to find a chapter in that people could be part of. So I started the nonprofit Angel by Nature. Relief Gang really started heavily during Harvey, but the crazy thing about
Hurricane
that
Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey. Mm. So everybody who in Texas already knew me for doing this work, period. It's just what happened is during Harvey, you know, social media is the easiest way to spread the word across the world. So it was just a different type of magnifying glass, because I've been doing this. If you look back at Hurricane Ike and the hurricanes that have been 8 to 10 years ago, you'll see pictures of me still out there doing the exact same thing. I think now it's just a way that the world could see it up close and feel like more personal with it. So during Harvey is when it really started just explode.
So speaking of Trey being on the issues, we've had a number of issues that we've talked about on the show as well. You know, I remember one day we were talking about how the rent is too damn high, and we've had folks to come on and cover all of like how expensive it is to survive in this world. But we've covered some other really important issues. Julius Jones, having our sister Tiffany Lofton, which we should allow Tiffany's voice to be a part of the show, because she is on the cutting edge of what this new movement will look like as a leader. And so I'd love to hear from Tiffany and also our brother Irv, who brought us in the awareness about Julius Jones. And we use the Street Politicians platform and all of our individual connections to help those individuals, Sister Cece and others who worked on trying to get Julius off of death row. And God bless, he's not on death row,
but he's not happy about being locked up either. Let's hear from the entire team of Julius Jones that, you know, really worked to try to save his life.
So we go to trial. These two particular public defenders, guess what? It's their first ever death row case. No experience. One was straight out of law school. Right. So now we got the highest profile case in Oklahoma County in probably 20 years. And we have rookies as our defense.
Would it be just in a few weeks that he would actually be executed?
If he gets denied, then he'll have an opportunity, what we call a clemency hearing, which would take place about 20 days once a execution date is confirmed.
But it has taken everybody at every level, every level. It's taken what we would consider the small voices, then the medium-sized voices, then the big voices with the big platforms. It has taken every single group of people from every single place to build what I call a human chain to pull Julius Jones out of Oklahoma's criminal justice system.
They issued two executions through lethal injection. But the cocktail of the lethal injection didn't work. And so people suffered before they died. So Oklahoma stopped the executions in 2015. Julius is one of seven people, Julius Jones is one of seven people who is now scheduled on death row to be executed between now, which was supposed to be today, with the first being a gentleman named John Grant, until March of next year. There are seven people on that list in that roster. The state of Oklahoma is now saying, we're just gonna continue these executions. Nothing has happened since 2015 up until now. They're just saying we want to continue them. But they went to these seven people on death row and said to them, if we can't do the lethal injection because it doesn't work, how else do you want to be killed?
Mm. Wow.
Six out of the seven of them said, F you. You're not going to make me choose my way to commit suicide. And it is actually against my religious beliefs to commit suicide. So I'm not giving you that easy way out. On September 13th, the Pardon and Parole Board, who are people appointed by the governor, and the governor is selected by the people, they passed a decision, a recommendation to the governor, basically saying, keep Julius alive with the possibility of parole. Don't kill him. We have evidence that proves that he could be innocent. Now, the Pardon and Parole Board is not a court or a jury. It's just the Pardon and Parole Board. So the only power that they have is to issue a recommendation to the governor. The governor looked at that recommendation and said, I'm not going to make this decision. Y'all go back and have an entire hearing and do it again.
Shout out to everybody on his team, his family, Tiffany, you know.
Tiffany. It was Tiffany Crutcher, Tiffany.
That's right. The Tiffany's, Irv, his whole family, everybody that came and supported him, man. You know, it was a blessing that we were able to make sure that the man was executed. Now we get a chance to fight for his freedom, man. So shout out to him.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
That's how we own it. So on a lighter note, we had a lot of serious, we've been talking about a lot of serious things, you know, and I'm gonna take a minute to do my own little thing, you know, my birthday episode, man, which you seem to set up. Y'all set up pretty good, man. Had some of my favorite people that I love. Shout out, thank you, Tamika, for that. It was a good little situation, man. We had a couple of my brothers that I love, and they came up on there. Shout out to Fat Joe, Diddy, who came and dropped some happy birthdays on me, man. It made me feel a little good, man, to know that people that you respect, you love, that actually have motivated you just within hip hop, within the culture, just within life, you know, had a level of respect and love for you to come on and give a shout out. So let's go to that episode.
You got locked up. You know, before that, you was like, your mind was just always so deep, you know, and always so right there. And then to see you come back, and when you came out, I remember you was like, you know, yeah, I'm out here for the people right now. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to see how long this going to last.
Yes, sir, man.
And you didn't stop. I saw you in front of the Capitol building. I literally, you know what I'm saying, like shed a tear. Because I'm like, man, look at what's possible. And look at this, you know, look at this king sticking to his word and really just, you know, devoting his life to what's going on and really being able to reach the kids and everything.
I want you to smell your flowers today. And thank you for what you're doing for the community, because we need strong leaders like you who look from a lens like you, who come from where you come from, and know the pain of the people and the passion of the people. And that's what I respect most about you. Also, you nice as hell with the lyrics. Oh, put it down for hip hop. Don't sleep on that.
And in the prophetic words of the great Reverend Dr. Fat Joe, yesterday's price is not today's price.
That's right. And shout out to them.
So I guess some of the last ones that we've got to talk about, you said on a lighter note, and while it was certainly lighter because it's my sister who's on TV and what have you, but what Portia talked about on our show was real. Talking about this idea that people feel like you're sacrificing yourself and you're doing it for clout. Not understanding that sitting in jail cells is no joke, right? The last time we got arrested in Louisville, Kentucky, they kept Portia almost the longest. So this is not fun. And first of all, it wasn't we, because I didn't even go in. I wasn't feeling well, and I didn't get arrested that day, but all of y'all did. And Portia and Reverend Stephen Green ended up being in there for hours. They really did all they could to try to break them. And I'm talking about 18 hours, not, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours, but 18 hours. And I could tell you, which you know, as you sitting in that cell and people start leaving and the numbers start getting lower and lower and lower, and you're in there by yourself or getting close to being by yourself, it's real. It feels real. Portia's position is like, I'm on TV every day. I don't need the movement to get me on TV. If anything, being a part of this work and this movement and being out there calling out white supremacy and corporations and, you know, all of that could get me thrown off of some of the shows and out of some of the spaces that I'm in. So Portia was a great interview. Let's hear from her.
It's just a matter of doing what I feel I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, why else? You know, it's a lot of times you're in certain places in your life and you wonder, you know, why am I given this opportunity? Or like, even for me, it's like, wow, I got 6 million people who follow me on Instagram. What have I been talking about? What is all of this for? What has all of this amounted to? And what was it building up to? And for me, it hit me in that moment. It was for a time like this. Mm. It was for me to come in contact with Tamika. It was for me to find out what she was doing and Until Freedom was being a part of. You all had your entire organization to Kentucky. You had brought so much attention and awareness to into detail into Breonna Taylor's story that it made me say, oh my gosh, that is so inspiring. Let me lend this platform that I've been blessed with, you know, that I've been on here saying so many other things. Why not say Breonna Taylor's name if it could even bring one other official and bring attention to what's happening to her? If it could help even a little bit, it just felt like a natural duty that I needed to do.
Shout out to Portia, man. Dope interview. And since we're on the topic of sacrifice, another one of my favorite crushes since I was a kid from Fresh Prince, Tatiana Ali, you know, she's moved into this different space and she was able to bring us the story of Cy and Ty, who lost their children to Child Protective Services for something that was horrendous, that didn't even make sense. And she, you know, she notified you and had us on calls and really did a lot of work to ensure that these people got their children back. So
yeah,
let's go to that episode with Tatiana Ali, one of my favorites.
It isn't new. This country has a long history of, this is why I draw the parallels to what's happened in the last couple of years with people protesting and with police reform or and policing in our neighborhoods. This also has a very, very long history. People's belief, the powerful people, their belief that we are not trustworthy with our children, that we are, which is so interesting because we're trustworthy to take care of their children.
Absolutely.
But we're not trust, we don't have the right to our own. We don't have the right to ask questions about care, about medical care.
So Tatiana Ali, the way that she found me, she literally tracked me down by every single person, Twitter, everything, and let it be known that this is not a request, it's a demand for folks to learn about what is happening with Child Protective Services and to get involved in helping to advocate for these families. Cy and Ty, they lost baby Ra and their daughter, a newborn baby within days. It was so traumatizing. And the way that Tatiana continued to make sure that she used her platform to bring everybody involved, she was just like that young girl, like you said, on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who was not afraid, very confident, speaking up. And she speaks so softly and she's so sweet, but yet she is a powerhouse. So shout out to Tatiana Ali. And you know, thinking about the issue,
AKA
my son's childhood crush, Ashley Banks. But speaking of, you know, when you just understanding what's happening with children being taken from their parents, I mean, the things that we learned as folks have heard, and hopefully people will download that episode specifically so that you can learn more about this idea of kidnapping children literally from the hospital and or taking kids out of their home, as you said, for things that we should be helping them to be better parents in certain areas. Not to say that Cy and Ty were bad parents, because I don't think they were at all, but they were trying to feed their baby a natural diet. And as a result of that, sometimes there are different things that have to be tweaked. You have to find ways to make sure you get more protein, more, you know, whatever, vitamins, different things. But there is, you should not be penalized for trying to give your child a healthy life. And so, you know, just that episode alone taught me so much, but it also taught me so much about what is lacking within our government. And we, every week, we cover some of the issues happening within the government and with all of our elected officials. But we've had some real ones on this show. We've had the public advocate of New York City, Jumaane Williams, who is also running for governor of New York State. I am personally supporting him. And you are too, even though he's for mandates, the COVID mandates in New York. And that's going to be a point of contention. However, we're not going to agree on every issue. But overall, I know that Jumaane Williams is for our communities. We've had Congressman Andre Carson on. We've had Congresswoman Yvette Clark. We've had Congressman Jamal Bowman. And I'm probably forgetting folks, but we've had a number of progressive
elected officials to come on the show. We've also had Reverend Jesse Jackson on the show, which was great. He was in Leo Alexander's office when we were talking about rebuilding Tulsa, Oklahoma, and rebuilding the Black Wall Street. And he came in and just took over the interview. So that was a great moment. So we've had some strong political conversations, and we want to continue to do that. But I think it's time for us in the new year to start talking to some people that we don't necessarily agree with. You've been saying that. I just hate to give those people our platform, but I can see that there is some debate that is important, especially when it can be done with respect.
When you work 9 to 5, you got 3 kids, you got to pick the baby up, you got to come home, you got to take care of the kids, you got 2 jobs.
The only person
that you're going to see is the person that's making sure that you see them. So how do you tell somebody who's dealing with those issues that they should know that?
That's a fact. So we got to find a way to help educate those folks. I think ranked choice voting pushes that. And now the other 4 candidates, Sleet, look, I really got a shot. Maybe if I double up my outreach efforts, maybe if I double up this effort, combined with the fact that I have the ability to get matching funds, I can now give who I am to these folks. And then I can make a choice. And now you can go and, yo, let me see who these people are real quick. Even if it's just a couple of moments before you go in, let me read through it and see this dude did do that. So I think it helps set a stage where the problems that you're talking about won't go away, but perhaps this encourages people, 1, to outreach more, and 2, to learn more, because their vote is now magnified. And if we can view it as that I have magnified your vote from what it was, I think that's empowering. But what I just want to keep pushing back is none of the systems have been delivering what we want to deliver. I believe that this system has the ability to deliver more. And if you look at how people do even polls, if you ask somebody if they're happy or sad, you will not get an accurate assessment. That's why they break it down and be like, are you somewhat sad? Are you somewhat happy? They have to do those things because people will answer in a spectrum.
Real, and what kind of weight does this impeachment piece hold?
Well, I think it holds a lot of weight. You know, these impeachments, obviously they have a lot of symbolic value, and symbols matter right now. I think it also has some teeth. I think one, hoping that the president doesn't try to run again. Now, the social media platforms, I commend them for blocking him, but one wonders, is it too much too late? He's on the way out. Now you want to get bold when you're partly responsible for creating this monster who is Donald Trump. But Donald Trump was able to leverage his celebrity. He was able to use the platform of the White House. I think that he gravely endangered the security of the United States. He threatened the integrity, I think, of the democratic system. He interfered with the peaceful transition of power. I think that he effectively imperiled, in many ways, a co-equal branch of government. He really betrayed his most fundamental trust as a president. Mm. And I think that alone warrants impeachment. I think it warrants a trial. I think it even warrants removal from office. I mean, it's really too late, effectively, but it certainly meets the test to disqualify him to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or even profit under the U.S.
The myth of bipartisanship. Mm-hmm. Now, all things being equal, all things considered, like, you know, if Republicans were kosher and things were like if they were principled Republicans that just felt like we want the same thing, but we want to go about it differently, mm-hmm. That would be one thing. But that's long gone. Like it was gone. It's been gone for a while. Mm-hmm. But Trump made it worse. Where like it's a party of Trump and it's Trumpism. So they just want to obstruct, delay. So knowing that, going into it with them as if there was going to be some bipartisan solution to this was we were misguided in that. And right now, bipartisanship is a myth.
Absolutely.
Have you designed and invented more than we know, the things we're probably using every day that you would never be able to tell us that you actually were involved in?
From 2009 to now, I've developed 218 unique electronic products that plug into a wall. for companies that I'm still under gag order about speaking, right? Some would say that every 5 minutes you're going to interact with something that something that either has our kernel technology embedded in it or something that I personally designed.
This is the Black history and the Black present we should be talking about. We're supposed to be celebrating brothers like yourself, but yet we don't even know that this is happening. You know, so I just want to applaud you and say, you know, give you your flowers now and say that we truly appreciate, you know, your contributions just to culture and just to our living. The living that we exist in right now is a result of a lot of things that you've done. And I just want to ask this, you know, you said that you went to Tulsa because you wanted to recreate that. You wanted to build that. It was synonymous with innovation. It was synonymous with, you know, Black people building and growing. What do you think is going to take to actually rebuild that?
Look at Reverend Jack.
Before I answer that question, I gotta get my guy in here. All right, is that okay?
Reverend Jack,
and you know how much we love you.
Love you too.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's genius.
Yeah, man, he is a genius. You know, we didn't know about him, Reverend, and we're learning, you know, now about this gentleman, Mr. Alexander, that it should be, you know, we should all be applauding his work and supporting him, helping him, and I'm sure you're there trying to figure out how you can help him, right?
Was based in Link to Civilizations Communications, so we must know who he is and tell our story, because it defies all of racist logic. Racism assumes that one's inferior, but the inferior part of it. Racism is unscientific, it's not true.
Yeah.
It's divisive, economically exploitative. Some God made an error when he made somebody Black. He challenged God himself. It's just, and what this defies all that foolishness.
That's powerful. The last time we saw you, it was where my son and Minutes.
The last time we seen the Reverend was at where we cried together when we got the conviction at Chauvin case, the Chauvin trial.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, him, Sharpton, and we cried as he looked at me and said he actually lived to see a man get charged for killing a Black man.
That's about it. when you make a lynching a federal crime, which is not that's touchdown. When you make a violating Blacks, a hate crime against Jews and Asians now, those touchdowns. We must have national application problem, not just local.
You know, so I just want to end this show on probably one of my favorite, It was probably the favorite, man.
Okay.
Like two of my favorite people, you know, that I've, Remy is like a sister to me. Pap is one of my favorite artists. You know, one of the few industry individuals that I met in this industry that have levels of integrity that I feel match mine. So, you know, last but not least, let's go to the Black Love episode with Remy and Papoose Mackey.
Black love means so many different things. It takes on so many meanings. But it's about, first and foremost, I'm going to just say black out all negativity and show love.
Mm.
They write this narrative that we can't have a strong family foundation, and that's not really true. You know, a lot of the pictures that are painted through movies and through music, through different things, they talk about the hardships of the ghetto. But there are also some good times growing up, and you know, being very family orientated and just showing that strong family foundation, that unity, you know, being loyal to your family. And Black love, it really does exist. So to me, Black love just means loyalty, you know, being faithful and showing endless love to your loved ones.
Mm-hmm. And is a major part of it to me, because, you know, it's easy to love somebody and to be there for them and be a part of it when everything is great and everything is fine. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, when it comes to the Black family dynamic, there seems to be way more hardships in our structure than in other in other households, and we are able to endure that, mm-hmm. whether incarceration, death, unemployment, you know, poverty, single family homes, all of these things that we've been has been pretty much thrown at us and we've been born into, and we still here. Mm. And we managed to thrive and love and be happy and have good times. Like all the stuff we've been through, you would think we as a people would just walk around depressed all day.
That's right. Okay, so I know that was supposed to be the last one, and that was a great episode. I mean, it was one of our best, one of our highest watched or viewed episodes. People downloaded it everywhere. And of course, I love Remy and Pap. Everywhere we see them, it's nothing but love. And they have so much that I feel like we can learn from. I look at Remy and I'm like, you know, she found a great man. But as my mother would say, that's because she's a great woman. So Sassy Bonsill Mallory says all the time, your daddy's a good man because I'm a good woman. So there's that. And I love that episode. But another great episode. And it's like, we try to end it and just say, but it's so many people that we've had on, and Styles P and Ajua.
Oh, man. They're going to
And, but you know why I thought that episode was different from Remy and Pat's? We were talking about Black love with the two of them, and they certainly exemplify that. But what we learned from Styles P and Ajua was about two people coming together to build businesses and to, you know, Black economic empowerment, and how a couple can be a powerhouse in the business world, even coming out of being, you know, in entertainment. All of that, but still they were able to flip it and get into something that wasn't just a money maker, but it's actually healthy for our community with their juice bars that they have around the city. They're very, very, very knowledgeable about building Black wealth. And so I felt like that for me was one of my highest favorites. All of them are my favorite, but that was one of my best.
That's definitely one of those. Those are another two people that I respect and always have love for and always support and have always supported me. So definitely let's tune into that.
People also think you have to have a lot of money in order to
That's not true.
If you're listening and you're Black and you're brown and you're paying attention right now, and then my brothers and sisters just brought up a great question, and but we don't say that shit about Jordans. Mm-hmm. We don't say that shit about the new iPhone. If you got the newest Jordans, you got the newest Nike tech suit, you got the newest sneakers, you got a Rolly, you got an iPhone watch, you got the newest everything, right. You got all of that. Don't start complaining about the shit that's going to save your life.
I know. That's right. So you can don't wear that stuff.
Don't complain about the shit you got to spend that's going to save your life if you ain't complaining about the shit that you're spending that ain't going to save your life. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. That's a fact.
So that's some shit we do in the community where it's like, cool. Like, when people tell me, I tell them straight fuck out of here with that, dog.
Right.
Like, look at your sneakers, dog. You got them new retro shits on. Yeah. That shit's cost $700.
That's right.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? How much a snapback cost? How much a fitted hat cost?
Yeah, the real ones, yeah.
Right.
So we don't want to hear that expensive shit. You got to start doing your homework, be diligent, and give a fuck about yourself enough to say, all right, let me spend my money at least on some shit that's going to benefit myself.
Yeah, because
how the fuck is a Gucci man bag going to help you?
And my worst best, because it was still a good episode, was you, Billy, Aaron, and Brother Q, and whatever mess most of y'all was talking about, Q was right. Y'all, the rest of y'all was wrong. But anyway, I digress.
We're just talking them facts, man. Appreciate my brothers, man. Brothers that I've known for a long time, and one that I met that gave me some good insight, man. So shout out to them, man. And with that said, you know, we've had a beautiful year, man. And it's more episodes. Please make sure that you go and look up the episodes that we told you about. We only gave you some clips, but go look up the full episodes. You'll see that there's so much jewelry and so many jewels inside of these episodes, so many dope people that we've interviewed. Some of them have not been celebrities, some of them just entrepreneurs and people that are on the cusp of being celebrities. Yeah. So you might discover that somebody that's the next person to follow. So listen, man, make sure that you go look. Just go ahead, go binge watch all of the Street Politicians episodes for the last few years, man. You're gonna find you something in there. Once again, we want to say thank y'all for supporting us, man. This has been a dope year. We hope that you have a New Year's resolution that you're going to follow this year. You know, everybody got a new me, new year, new me. Look, make sure it's a new you this year. Make sure that you're doing something positive. Make sure that you're growing, you know, and if you didn't have a good year, then make sure this year is better. If you did have a good year, make sure that that is even better than it was this year, man. Just continue to grow. We want to send you all holidays cheers. We want to make sure that you and your family are safe and healthy. Hug your family, love up on your people, you know, buy some presents, you know, drink some
eggs. Buy some presents for what?
For everything, for the new year. People give out New Year's gifts.
You should be.
New Year's gifts.
No, it's Kwanzaa. This is the week of Kwanzaa. And so we should be into buying different gifts. You know, you're supposed to give your loved ones a gift for every day of Kwanzaa. Now, those gifts are not like, you know, Louis Vuitton bags, unless it fits into whatever the specific day that we're in at that time, because the theme of the day is supposed to have something that you will offer as a gift to your loved ones. That's actually a part of the Kwanzaa principles, but we're just trying to get people to learn the principles in general and to try to follow them every day. We'll add the gifts part later on. But anyway, you definitely have been wrong all season. So as long as everybody knows that, and I have been right for sure, as always.
You want to flip the tables on it, okay? Well, listen,
the new year. The new year.
New us, culture leaders, street politicians. Y'all choose the name. If street politicians is the name, it is. But we just want to say thank y'all, man. Truly, from the bottom of our hearts. For listening to us, for putting up with our shit, for listening to Miga curse me out all day. Like, y'all got some real good attention spans that y'all can deal with this. Because I'd be almost going crazy listening to this lady all day. But we want to say thank y'all, man. Have a happy new year. We love you. May next year be better.
Peace. Hey.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv.
That's how we own it!
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.